नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7. Today we will hear text number 3. This chapter is entitled Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. But we're not there just yet. We have one more verse, introductory verse, and then he'll begin to discuss the pastimes. So please repeat.
Atha anyat api कृष्णस्य तोक आचरितं अद्भुतं मानुषं लोकं आसाद्य तज्जातिं अनुरुन्धतः अथान्यदपि कृष्णस्य तोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोकमासाद्य तज्जातिम् अनुरुन्धतः अथान्यदपि कृष्णस्य तोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोकमासाद्य तज्जातिम् अनुरुन्धतः अथान्यदपि कृष्णस्य टोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोकमासाद्य तज्जातिमनुरुन्धतः अथान्यद् अपि कृष्णस्य तोकाचरितमद्भुतम् मानुषं लोकमासाद्य तज्जातिमनुरुन्धतः
Thank you.
Ladies. Ata also, anyat api, other pastimes also, Krishnasya, of child Krishna, toka acharitam adbhutam, they are also wonderful childhood pastimes. Manasham, as if playing as a human child. Lokam asadya, appearing on this planet Earth in human society. Tadjatim, exactly like a human child. Anuruntata, who was imitating. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Please repeat. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child, and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukdev Goswami to narrate other childhood pastimes exhibited by Krishna while playing as a human child. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates at different times in different planets and universes, and according to the nature of those places, He exhibits His unlimited potency. That a child sitting on the lap of his mother was able to kill the gigantic Putana is extremely wonderful for the inhabitants of this planet. But on other planets, the inhabitants are more advanced, and therefore the pastimes the Lord performs there are still more wonderful. Krishna's appearance on this planet, like a human being, makes us more fortunate than the demigods in the higher planets. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was very much interested in hearing about him. Om Jnana Tibanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Anvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Athanyadapi Krishnasya Lokacharitam Adhutam Manusham Lokam Asadya Tadjatim Anarundhataha. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child, and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. We all wear Tulsi neck beads, do we not? Why? Why do we wear Tulsi neck beads? To protect us? What else? Dog tag. Okay. Anything else?
Association.
Okay. That's also. To save us from Yamaraj? Okay. We're kind of getting repetition now. You're raising your hand? Very good. We're following the order. All these answers are correct. We can even give another answer because it helps us to remember Krishna and it helps others to remember Krishna. When they see a devotee wearing Vaishnava tilak, when they see us dressed in this garb, when they see Tulsi neck beads, then they, here's a Vaishnava, here's Krishna. This person is coming from Radharani. This person can instruct me something about Krishna. So, yesterday we heard very nicely Maharaj explained, both Maharajas, I think, Parikshit Maharaj, as well as this Maharaj who's visiting here. Bhaktir harau tat purushe cha sakhyam tadeva haram vadamanyase chet. If you think it's right, then please tell me what kind of hara, what does hara mean? Necklace. What kind of necklace? You're stringing on your neck. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know that because Krishnadas Kaviraj's Goswami is telling us that if you want to remember this principle, Trinada Pisunichena Tororivasahishnana Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari, you put it around your neck. Some devotees, they put a kavach, and they wear a kavach around their neck that has that verse written inside of it. So this is another reason. We want to remember Krishna, or we want friendship with the devotees. These things have been mentioned here. So Sanatana Goswami in his Vaishnava Toshini, he's commenting on today's verse, and he says, Kidrisham tattavachittastham haram tatraha atheti. In this verse, beginning atha, that's another thing. Atha. What does atha mean? Yeah, generally we use the word atha when there's a new topic, when we're changing gears, when we're beginning a philosophical discussion, when we're changing a topic, when we want to introduce something, this word is used, atha. Here Prabhupada translates as also. But anyadapi. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment. So he says in the verse beginning, Atha, he's explaining this implicit question, that what kind of hara are you wearing around your heart? Chittastham hara. So that's the garland of what we heard yesterday, hearing about topics of Krishna, which are very pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Is this stated somewhere else in Bhagavatam? It is. Remember, in the beginning of the 10th canto, this was also stated. These topics are very pleasing to the ear, to the heart, to the intellect. Sanatana Goswami has written on that. Okay, so we're on text 3. Athanyad abhi krishnasya toka charitamadbhutam. He's curious. Otsukyena punarvichanashti. Sridhar Swami says, Atheti. He speaks this verse because Maharaj Parikshit is very enthusiastic. Utsuka means to be enthusiastic about something. Atyutsuka means he's really, really fired up about this. So, therefore, Sanatana Goswami is raising the question. He wants to know what kind of garland are we talking about? What should we wrap around our hearts so that we never forget? That's this process of hearing and chanting. Jiva Goswami has a slightly different take on it. He says, Putanaya vatham shrutva vismitamanaso raja atmanam prati. After hearing about Putana, Maharaj Parikshit was astonished. And he asked himself this question, could there possibly be something more wonderful than this? So this is his view of what's happening here. Why is he so enthusiastic? Why is he atiyutsuka? Because he wants to know if there's something more wonderful than this. And in fact, there is. Manushum lokam asadya bhutalam prapyata jatim tatsvabhavam manushabhavam anu anukshanam runthata or avrindvata aprakashayata iti artha. The idea is that he comes into this world just like a human being. He acts according to human conventions, and he's as if an ordinary human child. At every step he's acting like that. He never fails in this act. It's actually not an act, but we'll get to that in a moment. So Jiva Goswami gets the gist of it. He says, Atimartyam cheshtam kurvato lokavad acharitam ataiva adbhutam. Why is it so amazing? He's answering this question because the word here is used. Tokacharitam adbhutam. These childhood pastimes in particular, they're amazing. And he says the reason they're amazing is because although he does things that are superhuman, atimartyam, still, he's following all the ordinary human conventions. Therefore, it's bewildering. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur takes it a step further. Srila Prabhupada's purport is largely expanding on the point that he's making here. Manusha jatyanarodhena eva. He's only following the conventions of human duties. Human society should not be, well, really, real human society is not capricious or whimsical. Actually, a human society means that we follow certain conventions. What are those conventions that human beings, by definition, follow? Why is a human being called, even, for that matter, manusha? Anybody know? Because they follow manu. That is what defines humanity. If you do not follow manu, then you're not a human being, strictly speaking, at least grammatically speaking, but also conventionally speaking. There are two ways to define words. One of them is grammatical, the other one is conventional. This is stated by Patanjali in his Ashtadhyayi, in which he codified classical Sanskrit grammar. So by either mode of definition, this is what it means to be a human being. That's another topic maybe, but it's very prominent in this verse because all the acharyas commenting here are saying, manusha jati anarodhenaiva, like Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says. He follows. What does that word mean? Anurodhana or anurundhata. That's used in the verse here. It means to adhere to something. It means to comply with something. It also means to love something. And its derivative form, anurundhata, means those things plus to oblige or to endear someone. So Krishna is following these rules and regulations, not only because this is what a human being does, and he's acting just as a human being, because that's the context that he's in. When we're preaching Krishna consciousness, we know context is everything. You have to act in according to that context. So Krishna is also setting that example. Why? Yad acharati shreshtas tattareveta rojana. Whatever the great person does, everybody else is going to follow. And he knows that. So he's setting this example. Therefore, Krishna is sometimes called what is that? In so many ways, in Narakriti, he's got the human-like form. We'll get back to that in a moment. So Manusha Jati Anarodha, he follows it, but he also obliges people by doing this. Because although he is superhuman, this Jiva Goswami has already told us, he acts as if he's just an ordinary child. Someone told me the other day, one parent of a young child. So this girl likes to eat yogurt. So her father is taking a shower. Even he's in the bathroom, but she slips a note under the door that says yogurt because she wants yogurt. These kinds of things, they endear a parent. This is called vatsalya rasa. And Krishna knows exactly how to do that, maximum. In this world, we have the perverted relationships. We have all five relationships in this world. We have madhurya as the chief one, most intense at least. Vatsalya also. People can give up their spouse. Sometimes people get divorced, but they hate to give up their children. They won't do that, isn't it? You see? So vatsalya also very, very prominent. Sakya rasa, friendship, servitude, all these rasas are there. Neutrality, they're all there. But all the rasas are perverted in this material world. Therefore, they frustrate us. They don't satisfy us. And they're receptacles, the persons in whom we would repose our own emotions or from whom we expect our emotional expectations, we say, to be filled. They don't satisfy us because they don't know how. They can't do it. They're limited by our karma. What to speak of their karma? See, but Krishna's not in this category. He's atimartyam. He's beyond all this. He has no karma. So whatever Krishna does and whatever way that Krishna reciprocates with us, it is perfect. You see? So this is all only implicit, but it's there in the word tadjati manununtata, in the concept tadjati manununtata. In one step, Krishna is setting a proper example how a human being acts, and he's also endearing those in the human society to himself. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes on to say something very interesting. He says, I've already mentioned, even among the devas, when Krishna appears there, he's acting according to their conventions, because they have different conventions than human people do, right? Sometimes we see devas, they may act in ways that seem to be inappropriate, even, because they have different standards there. Everything is contextual, Krishna says in Canto 11. Every truth is contextual. Everything has to be considered in its context. It's a very, very important principle. So he says that when Krishna appears among the devas, he does things that are even more wonderful. This is what Prabhupada is stating in his purport. And yet still the human beings are more fortunate. Why is that? How can it be so? Who has some ideas about this one? Well, yeah, that's fine to explain why we're more fortunate as human beings in terms of our endeavors to make spiritual advancement. We're less distracted. But why is it that Krishna's pastimes might be more wonderful in the deva realms? Where? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't really know the answer to this question. I've been thinking about it. I haven't studied the commentaries carefully enough to really get a better sense. But it seems to me that because the devas are less limited than ourselves, therefore their activities are more wonderful to us than our own activities are. that they're superior to us in so many ways. Anytime we find a superior person, somebody who has greater wealth, somebody who has greater knowledge, somebody who has greater fame, so all six opulences, we become fascinated. Actually, the essence of a rasa experience is fascination, according to Kavi Karnapur. I think it's in his Alankar Kaustubha, he says this. I've mentioned this before. What is the supreme rasa of all five rasas? Which one is considered the topmost? Madhurya rasa. Madhurya rasa means, how does Prabhupada translate that? Conjugal love. The attraction between man and woman. Of course, nowadays, you don't know, but this is the ideal. So, we sometimes hear about somebody who's drop-dead gorgeous. Right? What does that mean? It means that when you see this person, you're just instantly fascinated by that person's beauty. You see? This is rasa. But it's perverted rasa, unfortunately, in this material world. When we see Krishna, when we qualify ourselves to see Krishna, we cannot imagine how intense that experience is. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when we have that experience, param drishtava nivartate, it's a higher vision that allows us to instantly forget about everything else. When we're children, we fight tooth and nail if we have brothers and sisters. We fight with them for these little plastic toys. But a few years later, we lose interest because we've matured. You see? So when we mature spiritually, we should lose interest. It means we should mature. You have a choice. In spiritual life, you have a choice of whether you mature or not. You see? This is in your physical life, you don't really have a choice. Your body is going to mature, at least your body. Maybe not your mind, but at least your body is going to mature. But in spiritual advancement, we should mature. We should advance. And when we do advance, we automatically come higher and higher in our vision. And when that vision is higher, we can give up the lower things. Anyway, we're making the point that devas, they do things that sometimes fascinate us because they're beyond our comprehension. Where does he get the potency to do this? I mean, even in this world, relatively speaking, it's also true. Different people have different karma, so they manifest different opulences. But that's one reason that Krishna's pastimes might seem more wonderful, because they're suited to that context. And the context itself is more fascinating than ourselves. But that's not what the acharyas are saying here. Baladeva Vidyabhushan, commenting on this verse, he says, Swabhimatam Spurdayati. In this verse, Maharaj Parikshit is revealing his own mentality of eagerness to hear about Krishna. And then he's asking Vada. Vada here is only implicit in the verse. But he's asking Shukdev Goswami to speak something more. If you know something better than that, I want to hear it. This is the significance of Atha Anyad Api. Anyad Api means something even. Api actually means even. Here it's, Prabhupada doesn't really translate it, or he translates it as also. Sometimes api means also, but quite often it means even. So here we can see that it kind of carries the sense, at least, of something even more wonderful. So he's asking for that, and he's quite eager to hear. He wants to know. Whether he's asking about the devas, or whether he's asking about Krishna's human-like pastimes, we don't know. But Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that something, he says, manushya riti chandam paramaishwarya garbham tat karma. Krishna's activities as a human, in his human-like form, here in Gokula Vrindavan in particular, they contain his paramaishwaryam, his supreme majesty and opulence and power. They contain all that. But it's all covered over with this manushya riti, the ways of a human being. You see? He doesn't always manifest it. So the acharyas are saying slightly different things. Someone, I think it was maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or perhaps it was Sanatan Goswami, saying that the reason that Krishna's pastimes and his bala lilas in particular, his childhood pastimes, are so wonderful, are that he actually does manifest this Supreme Majesty. And he gives the example. Putana, who can do this? Prabhupada is indicating this in his purport when he says that a child sitting on the lap of his mother was able to kill the gigantic Putana is extremely wonderful for the inhabitants of this planet. You see? So he's kind of, Prabhupada has amalgamated all of these different acharyas' commentaries in his own. He's giving us the real essence of it in a very easily digestible form, very sweet form as well. So he actually does reveal, a child is pulling a mortar through two trees and these two huge Arjuna trees are uprooted. I mean, nobody can do these things. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says, Ajimartyam cheshtam kurvata. He's doing superhuman tasks. But all of it is covered within this yogamaya potency. In that sense, it's more wonderful. The Lord's godliness is obscured by his loveliness or by his endearing quality, especially in his childhood pastimes. Because children do things that endear us to them. Just like this, his name is Abhay, no? The little, he comes to the Mridanga every morning. So everybody's fascinated. Everybody's having this rasa, although it's, you know, quasi-mundane. We have this experience, even in this world, we can understand. So he says, therefore, atimanoharam ityuktam. His pastimes are therefore extremely charming, Krishna. And that's what makes manushanam saubhagyam jyotitam. It's revealed thereby that humanity is actually more fortunate. Now, back to Sanatana Goswami. He says, why are Krishna's pastimes so fascinating? We've already explained to some extent what makes them adbhutam, wonderful. Anybody, what is it that distinguishes Krishna from any of the other forms? We've heard already, Prabhupada told us, that the Lord comes as Matsya, he comes as Kurma, he comes as in different forms. And it's very interesting, very even wonderful, certainly. Matsya avatar, the tiny, tiny fish becomes too big for the ocean even. You see? Wonderful. But what makes Krishna special? Yeah. Another answer in the back. Okay, we've mentioned that. Yes, Prabhu? Okay, anything else? I'm thinking of four particular reasons. Yeah, we've mentioned some of these things. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, this is Chamatkar. This is Vishnu Chakravarti says this. So Sanatana Goswami actually says, Shri Krishna'sya lila madhuri chaturbhihi, by his, what we call madhuri chaturbhihi, his four particular excellences that raise him above even Narayana. There are four things that Krishna displays that even Vishnu doesn't display in any of his other incarnations. You're raising your hand? Yeah, his Venu Madhurya. That's one of them. So you mentioned, I think, he's got Vilas Madhurya, Lila Madhurya. His pastimes with his devotees are incomparable. His flute playing is incomparable. His qualities are incomparable. His form is incomparable. They're different lists. Are you raising your hand? Your beauty is incomparable. Yeah. The list is given in slightly different forms in different places. Here he's mentioning Rupa Guna Vilasa Lila. his pastimes, his form, his qualities, etc. So this puts Krishna above even Lord Narayana. This is why we say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we have the Lagu Bhagavatamritam has been published. It's available from Vaisheshika Prabhu. If you're interested, you can read more about what makes Krishna so special, because we're actually mainly worshipping Krishna in this movement. We also worship Narasimha, of course. We don't neglect the others. but we're mainly interested in Krishna. And one can rightly ask, many other Vaishnavas, they do ask, well, you know, why are you people only on Krishna? So it's good to know. He explains it sort of in terms of Krishna's hierarchy of forms. You have Krishna, and then you have Balaram, then you have the Chatur Vyuhas, and then you have Narayan, Purushas, etc., different avatars. All of them are non-different, but they don't display the same potency. They have the same potency, but they don't display it. Why? We've already discussed this. Because Krishna's pastimes are according to, who is listening, context. You see? In a deva context, he will display deva qualities. In a human context, he displays human qualities. And yet, every once in a while, his divinity shines through, and we're astounded. You see? This is what endears us to Krishna. This is why we particularly focus on Krishna. So, and Sanatana Goswami adds that he has these four excellences that even Narayan doesn't have: his pastimes, his pastimes with his devotees, his beauty, his flute, etc. So these are things that make Krishna wonderful. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is entirely enthusiastic. He was asking for more. If you know something more, even, I want to hear more, particularly about the Bala Leelas, because those are the most amazing. Therefore, Shukdev Goswami is enlivened himself also. When we have a reciprocating audience, then we get enlivened to present more of whatever we're presenting. So then tomorrow we'll begin with the next chapter of Krishna's transcendental pastimes, killing of Trinavarta. How old was Krishna when Trinavarta was killed?
3 months.
Only how do we know this? You looked it up. Okay. Yeah, actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think it's him. He refers back to the second canto, 7th chapter, text 2, I think it is, that actually states that explicitly. And we're not going to find that here, but it's just an interesting little fact that we can throw in. So let's look forward to this next Leela. We've just finished the Putana Leela. Of course, we're also absorbed in Damodar Leela, so it's a great time for those interested in the Bala Leelas in particular. Kartik Mas. Let's all hear with great enthusiasm like Maharaj Parikshit, and thereby we can become as enthused as him to hear more and to share with the rest of the world. Because if people know this great science of Krishna consciousness, so many problems are solved. Do you have a question or a comment? Bhrigupati Prabhu. I'll repeat your question. Yeah, because even I can't hear what you're saying also.
Thank you, Prabhu. Wonderful class, as always. So we're hearing like very strong statement here, and even previous to this, there was another one that Ivritatar Shai Upagyamana earlier.
Yes, that's the verse I was telling.
Yeah. So strong statements describing the benefit of just hearing these pastimes. So my question is this: say somebody was not able to do any service due to some legitimate physical disability. They didn't even have the strength to chant their rounds. Okay.
Hmm.
They were kind of like a semi-invalid practically. I mean, but they were following the regulative principles. All they could do is just hear. Mm-hmm. And all they did was just hear these pastimes. They had somebody reading the Krishna book, or they listened to Prabhupada, you know, Krishna book dictation tape. That's all they could do. Okay?
Yeah.
On the strength of that alone.
Hearing, you're saying.
Only hearing.
Yeah.
That's it. Would they get purified? Would they go back to Godhead?
Well, you know, this is an excellent question. And there's many ways to answer the question. I'm just trying to decide which avenue I'm going to take. I have personal experience of this because my mother was comatose in 2006. I had come to visit, I thought, for only 2 weeks. And, you know, she had a massive stroke and heart attack that nearly killed her. And the doctor said she'll be gone within hours or days. She won't be able to withstand this. She was comatose, and when she finally came out of it, but when she did, she didn't know if it was day or night. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know who she was. She had to learn how to walk all over again. She couldn't talk also for some time. I mean, you know, she was really out. But every day I was sitting next to her and I was playing a recording of Srila Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. And I was just giving her prasadam when she started to eat again. You know, I for almost a year, I was in the hospital with her every day. And that's all she was. She didn't even know she was hearing. But she was hearing. Because even when a person is comatose, the hearing is the last thing to go. Any doctor you can ask, they will confirm. Hearing is the very last thing. They can still do that. It's a good, good thing. We're so fortunate that we can hear, which is why I always encourage people. Somebody told me this, that in one of the temples in India, there were some devotees here listening to Prabhupada's lectures every day. And then the temple president came and told them, why are you only listening to Prabhupada? You should listen to other people's lectures as well. I don't want to get into that, but the point is that if a person has an opportunity here from Srila Prabhupada, I mean, we should really do it, because we don't always have this opportunity. It's going to be taken away from us. We don't know when. Maharaj Parikshit knew he had at least 7 days. We don't even know that. So hearing is so important. But back to your question. My mother was only able to hear, but she was doing that. And then when she came to, I was careful not to burn her out. Then I switched over to prasadam. And for 4 or 5 years, I was giving her prasadam. Such that by the time she left this world, you know, among her last things that she spoke were Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she had tulsi neck beads. She had tilak on her forehead. The last thing she ate was sandesh offered to Rukmini Dwarkadish at Mangalarti here in New Dwarka. And, you know, she was hearing kirtan, continuous kirtan we were doing until she left for about 40 hours, day and night. Akhanda. And she went very peacefully, smiling. And I'm sure that she didn't go down. You know, I don't know where she went. But very, very fortunate departure she had. I think because of this. There's another example that I can share with you. One, not initiated devotee, but kind of person, you know, congregational devotee, was in an accident and broke his spine, I think. And he was just absolutely paraplegic, as it were. He was completely just couldn't do anything but sit there. And he could see things and he could hear things. And he could, with help, he could be fed. That's about it, you see? Bhavagrahi Janardana. Lord Krishna Janardana, he is a person who, the Supreme Person, and his nature is that he appreciates what we can do according to our capacity. We don't all have deva capacity. We have human capacity. But if we use whatever we have, yet koroshi, yet juhoshi, yet ashnasi, yet tapasyasi, ityadi, he says in Bhagavad Gita, yet means whatever it is. Means, you know, implicitly means however much it is. You see? This is the idea. That's my understanding. You can ask someone else for a different answer. But
no, thank you. That was a great answer. Thank you very much.
Hearing is so important in that way. Anything else? Anybody have any questions or any comments?
Well, since nobody else does,
Bhrigupati Prabhu always has a question or a comment.
No, I'm amazed to hear this thing about how a person in a coma can hear. Because there's actually three classes of people that can be operated on and not feel any pain. Somebody who's under general anesthetic, somebody who's under hypnosis, and somebody's in coma. Yeah. You can actually do an operation on somebody when they're in a coma and they don't feel anything. Mm. So it's amazing to me to hear that they actually are able to hear. That's like, they retain that ability even in coma. Because it's really out of it. I mean, if you can operate on somebody and they don't feel any pain, that means they're really out of it. So, but they can hear. That's amazing.
This subtle branch of metaphysics is actually discussed in the Aitreya Upanishad. There are four levels of our Brahman realization. We have, what is it called? Just now my mind is blank. We have waking state, we have sleeping state, we have dreaming state, and we have deep sleep, dreamless sleep, which is considered to be a liberated state. So, in all these four stages, You know, we manifest our consciousness in different ways. But the consciousness can always be there. And hearing is the most subtle of all material forms. Of course, we're hearing spiritual sound. That goes beyond even the mind-body complex. So it's such a great thing. Therefore, he says, Sthane sthita shrutigatam tanuvang manobhihi. Whatever your position is, that's fine. Rehne do, lekin, you have to hear. So, Shachitana, you...
Prabhu, in reading Prabhupada's comment, that when he says that in other planets, there's more wonderful. It appears that it's more wonderful.
Because those planets are more... That's how I understand it, at least.
It's, yeah, because I was thinking, wait a minute, I mean, the Madhurya or the Vrindavan pastimes is like, what could it be higher than that?
Well, the Madhurya is certainly more wonderful in the Deva, in the Svargaloka. The Rupa is more wonderful in the Svargaloka, right? The pastimes are more... Yeah, it makes sense. So he's really eager for more. He's so fascinated by what he's heard about Putana, he wants to hear everything that he did. And fortunately, Mother Yashoda, she hired either her friends or some pundits to poeticize all of Krishna's pastimes. And in fact, with regards to many of these pastimes, the Bhagavatam says that they were singing so many songs, and Jiva Goswami and his Gopala Champu is actually providing those songs for us to hear. He knows. He's a participant in those leelas. So it's really, we're quite fortunate also. Govinda Ganamritai, these six Goswamis, by pouring upon us transcendental songs about Govinda, they're saving us from the devouring mouth of liberation. What to speak of the ugly cesspool of bhoga in this material world. Okay, we're going to end. Oh, one more question. Shamapriya.
I was wondering if you know anything more about Shakadasura, because it just kind of skips over very quickly, and I wondered if there was anything more.
Yeah, of course there's more. It's coming. Yeah, we hear Prabhupada's purports very carefully. Everything is there. Everything. So I don't want to spoil the plot. That's not Shakadasura you're asking, because Trinavarta is next.
Yeah.
Then Shakadasura will come later.
It was
yeah.
Very quickly. It's just like Mother sort of put him underneath. And
well, one thing the acharyas say about this commentary, about this verse in particular, is that when Krishna covers his Paramaishvarya, his supreme majesty, but in the Bala Leelas, he sometimes manifests it more even than it seems than in the other Leelas. But in a wonderful way. And with Shakatasura, he gives that example of Shakatasura. How is it that a baby can kick a cart and the whole thing explodes? It just doesn't happen. It's some supernatural thing going on, you see? So that's one example of what the acharyas have to say about that.
Was there a demon in the cart?
Yeah, that's my understanding. There are different versions of that story. But some of them say that there was a demon in the cart. There's at least two or three traditions that I'm aware of. I don't recall offhand what Prabhupada is saying in this narration. Okay. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.